The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I'll call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, and the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord, and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because of his wrath. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down. Darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark. Waters and thick clouds were in the skies. And the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed. Hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke. O Lord, by the blast of the breath of thy nostrils, he sent from above, and he took me. He drew me out of many waters. Dear Heavenly Father, we are here once more because you watched over us during this week and has brought us here safely. Take nothing for granted, dear Lord. Many didn't make it here today. Many passed away, dear Lord God. Pray that they'll come to your house. Bless us now, dear Lord, as we're here just thanking you and rejoicing in another time we can just celebrate the day that you've given us. Pray for everyone that is still on the way. Pray for our pastor with the message you've given him today. And again, we just thank you for a place that we can come to just hear your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Across the bridge, oh, there's no more sound road. Across the bridge, there'll be no more pain. That sunshine, across the river, and we'll never be happy again. Oh, across the bridge, now there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there'll be no more pain. That sun will shine across the river, and we'll never be unhappy again. Oh, across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there'll be no more pain. That sun will shine across the river, and we'll never be unhappy again. Once more, across the bridge, oh, there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there'll be no more pain. That sun will shine across the river, and we'll never be unhappy. Oh, we'll never be unhappy. We'll never be unhappy. Got to get across the bridge. Thank you, Jesus. My God, my God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is your house. Father, come and dwell. This is your house, a holy house of prayer. Oh, where the lost and the lonely, they bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house. This is your house. Please come and pray. This is your house. Father, come and dwell. This is your house. Oh, it's a holy house of prayer. Oh, where the lost and the lonely, they bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house. This is your house. Oh, please come and dwell. This is your house. Oh, Father, come and dwell. This is your house. Oh, it's a holy house. A prayer, oh, where the lost and the lonely, they bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house. This is your house. Please come.
His throne unto his Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Great is his faithfulness. Thank you, Sister Lisa. Thank you. Amen. So we have Sister Shonda.
Faithful friend and father, I call you through the years. You've been great physician, when sickness lingered near. Through distressing moments, your name is new and sweet. You've become a comforter.
Thank you.
Sister Rebecca. Lord has blessed us with so much talent in this life. the offering, and then we'll have Sister Burris come. That you'll bless the people, dear Lord God. Bless this offering, Jesus, that they'll just give what they can, dear Lord, back to thee. You don't ask for much, dear Lord God. You give us so much. Just may they bless them as they give, and you know that some might not be able to. Sure, you'll bless them for the next time. Just ask now that you bless this offering, Jesus Christ's name.
Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. I my trust in God. Wherever I may be, upon the land, or on the raging sea, for come what may, from day to day, my heavenly Father watches over me. He makes the wind rose the object of his care. He guides the eagle the pathless air. Oh, and sure, sure he remembers me. Oh, my heavenly Father watches. Brother Burns and I celebrate our 39th wedding anniversary. You know, I know the enemy said it'll never happen. He said it'll never happen. He got too much against them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, God. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. We thank you for your prayers. We thank you. We felt the comfort. Thank you for your love, your calls. We just appreciate it so much. Brother Birds is going to be back in our midst before very long. He truly desires to be here. And he's going to be back in our midst. He's overcome a lot. He's overcome a lot. And I know God's going to finish the work in him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Be dark the shadows, but oh, the shepherd,
hallelujah,
God's lonely sheep at the root of the gloom. Heavenly Father marches over me. I trust in God. I know my God hears me. Oh, God hears me.
Says whatever you need, God's got it. If you need a touch in your body, God's got it this morning. If you need a touch in your spirit, God's got it this morning. Whatever you need, God's got it. He's able to give it to you this morning. You believe that? Come on, let's sing it with all of our heart. Whatever you need, say whatever you need. God's got it. Hallelujah. Whatever you need, God's got it. Yes, he does. Whatever you need, oh, God's got it. Hey, God's got it. And he wants to give it to you. You believe that? Come on, sing with all your heart. Say, whatever you need, oh, God's got it. Say, whatever you need, my God, my God. Yeah, whatever you need, hey. Yes, he does. God's got it. And he wants to give it to you. Come on, you can worship him in the midst of it. Say, now if you need joy, my God's got it. Hallelujah. If you need joy, this morning God's got it. Oh, if you need joy. Oh, God's got it. Yeah, God's got it. Yes, he does. And he wants to give it to you. Hallelujah. Oh, my God, if you need love, say if you need love, God's got it. If you need love, yeah, 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 if you need love, hallelujah, God's got it. Oh, yes, he does. God's got it, and he wants to give it to you. Come on, hallelujah, whatever you need, whatever you need, God's got it. Whatever you need, say God's got it. Hallelujah. Whatever you need, I know he does. Hallelujah. God's got it. Oh, and he wants to give it to you. Come on, one more time. Put your hands on it this time. Whatever you need, God's got it. Hallelujah. Say whatever you need, whatever you need. Hallelujah. I believe it, I receive it. Whatever you need, God's got it. God's got it, and he wants to give it to you. Oh, God's got it. God's got it, and he wants to give it. Oh, yes, he does. God's got it. Say, God's got it, and he wants to give it to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And he wants to give it to you. Oh, somebody praise him in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe it, I receive it. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody believe he's got it this morning? Whatever you need, he's got it, he's got it, he's got it. Thank you, Jesus. While we're singing that song, the scripture comes to mind. The book of 2 Chronicles chapter 16. in verse 9, man, it speaks to your situation. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." I love my God. He can be here in West Palm Beach, and then he can get over to Africa and see about their needs, and just, he can just be anywhere, anytime. And I just love the scripture says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro." He can't walk it, he gotta run it. I mean, God's in a hurry trying to get to you. "Throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." And when I read this for the first time, it just kind of hit me. Say, God is looking for some things to get involved with. If you got a situation, whatever you need, God's got it, and he wants to give it to you. Turn around and tell somebody, God got it, God's 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 got it. He wants to give it to you. He wants to give it to you. Amen, amen. Let's just give the Lord a hand of praise before we have our seats. Amen, this morning. Come on, give him praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My God, my God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated. Just a few announcements that I want to make mention of. Amen. On today, I want to thank God for all the special that went forth. This really wonderful songs and creating a good atmosphere. And certainly, we want to wish our brother and sister Birds, amen, a happy anniversary on today. Amen. 39 years is certainly worth celebrating. That don't happen too often. We're living in a day where marriage has been cheapened. And people don't think much of their vows. Amen. But we thank God for people that can stick it out. Amen. Through thick and thin, they stick it out. And amen, we appreciate that. And I'm sure it wasn't a picnic for all 39 years, but somehow they found a way to make it through. Amen. And we thank God for them. And as Sister Birds was singing, amen, we got a chance to go by and see Brother Birds on yesterday. And he has some good days. And amen, there's some other days. Amen. Seemed like Satan just attacked him a little bit more. But we claim in good days, amen, from here on out, and praise the Lord. And one thing I think that's very helpful for anybody, amen, that's going through sometimes in their body, it's good just to see the faces of the saints. And if they can't make it to church, then we got to get by their homes, amen. Everybody has that responsibility. We have to get by the homes of those that can't make it out into the house of the Lord. And, you know, just encourage them. Let them know that we're praying for them and we're thinking about them. Amen. And we love them. But please continue to keep Brother Birds in prayer. Amen. It's so good to see Mother Tillman. Amen. In service on today. The Lord brought her through. Amen. She was in the hospital recently, but she's out and she's back in service today. And we're just so grateful. Amen. To have Mama and. Sometimes I'm sitting in my office, I can see the car pull up, and it just caused me to stand up and say, "Thank God Mama made it to church." You know, I'm just grateful. Every time she walked through the door, I'm grateful to see Mama. Hallelujah. Amen. We really thank God for her. And happy Father's Day to every father. Amen. In the church today, and those that are not here, amen, we still wish them a happy Father's Day, and all of our future fathers, amen, we wish them a happy Father's Day. But we thank God for all the fathers, amen, because if it wasn't for Daddy, we wouldn't be here. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to thank God for even the worst daddy. You still thank God for him. Brother Branham, thank God for his daddy. Say he was a drunk and everything else, but he was still daddy. All right, so we ought to thank God. Stop putting down daddy all the time, and let's lift him up sometimes. But we thank God for our fathers, and I'm especially appreciative to fathers that would bring their children and bring their families into the house of the Lord. That means so much, amen, and may God richly bless you for that. On Wednesday, Brother Burrs is going to be celebrating, amen, his 70th birthday. Amen. His 70th birthday, and amen, you know, every time I think about it, I know my dad has shared with us, amen, that the doctors told him from a long time ago with some of the conditions that he had in his body that he really wasn't supposed to be here this far, right? He was trying to get into sports, and they told him, no, you can't do it, right? Everybody can go out there but you. Right, and that's the way they isolated him because of his health conditions, and you know, and but God saw fit, amen, to give him 70 years on this earth, and you know, not only I just think about the entire family, you know, my uncles, amen, and my aunt. My dad is actually the baby, and he turned 70. And here his mother, amen, was with him all the way till, you know, just last year. I mean, not too many people live into their 60s and their mama's still sitting next to them, right? That's a blessing. Amen. That's a blessing. Not just sitting next, but in her right mind. And we, you know, look, we all get older. Right, and I'm not even there yet, but I feel things at 40, right? That like, my God, changes. you begin to understand why people are looking for a change in the body, right? Because this body cannot be the body that God intended for me to have, right? Some of the pains that you feel, and you know, I thought I could do that, but you can't do it no more. Right? But, you know, we thank God. But, you know, I just think about their whole family, and many of them got a chance to just, you know, just live in good health. And their mother, I mean, my grandmother was here till 98 years old and in her right mind. We just thank God for his blessings, amen, upon the family. And, you know, we're just looking forward to God just touching daddy and just allowing him just to kind of keep pressing on. So you all please continue to keep him in prayer. And if you can send him a text or something on his birthday, just wish him a happy birthday. 70 years, amen, on Wednesday. So we thank God for that. Just want to also just let you know that in honor, amen, of Brother Burrs, amen, my dad, turning 70, we are doing something as his children. We are having a little program for him, and it's going to be done on Saturday, June 28th at 4 o'clock. We have something here on the board for you, but we're going to have a little program. See, one of the things I appreciate about my father, my dad is not the greatest singer, but, you know, he raised some singers. And what Dad has done is encouraged us all in the Lord, and I mean, he's been like a cheerleader, and anytime we would sing when we were younger, Dad would be right there, and he'd be the first one standing up and just really entering in, and if the, you know, when a child looks out and sees that, that encourages a child. It makes them want to kind of go ahead, right? You know, I mean, and you know, I mean, and it's. Mama gonna encourage you with everything, no matter what you're doing. But when you can get your dad up, right, then you know you must be doing something. Because typically, dad will be the first one to tell you. You know, you can see it in his actions whether that's good or not, right? But I appreciate him because he would be there no matter what we were doing. Dad would always be there to. Just cheer us on, and so we're coming together as his children, as his grandchildren, amen. And we're gonna put together a little choir, sing some songs for our daddy, and we don't know nothing else to do but sing gospel, amen. right? Amen. That's the household we was raised in. So, amen. We coming on Saturday the 28th here at 4 o'clock. We'll be here at the church, and we're going to have a program. There'll be some words spoken, and if anybody would like to say something, amen, on behalf of Brother Burrs, you all just let us know, and we'll certainly try to get you involved. My dad is a man of wisdom. He has shared some words, and sometimes you wonder, where'd Dad get that from, right? But he's a man that's shared a lot with so many and has encouraged us all along the way. So if you have something, especially the brothers, if you all have something you'd like to say on that 28th, we'd love to have you, you know, just say something on his behalf. And it's best to give a person a flowers while they can enjoy them. Right, don't wait till a person gone. Man, I was going to, no. You weren't going to say nothing. You couldn't say it while they were standing right there. You was not going to say nothing. Right? Is that the truth?
Yes, sir.
Right, so if you're going to say it, come on, say it now. Well, yes, you are. People need to hear good words.
Amen.
People need to hear it. You need to hear it. Right? Don't even say that. The brother that told Brother Branham, oh, bless God. I don't want nobody bragging on me and saying nothing about me. Bless God, brother. All the glory go to God. Brother Branham said, well, I don't really mind it that much. Bless God, brother. You need to get humble, brother. You know, just going on and on. So the prophet said, there's only one difference between me and you. There's only one difference. Say, that difference is I'm telling the truth and you lying. Everybody like to hear good words. So if you want to hear good words, you got to give good words. All right, church. So, you know, we want to encourage you, amen. Let's come and celebrate, amen, these 70 years with Brother Burrs. After that, we'll be having a Dutch dinner, amen, at a restaurant, amen. That means everybody got to kind of pay for themselves. We'll pay for Brother Burrs, and we'll let everybody else pay for themselves. But if you would like to go, amen, again, let us know. We got a restaurant that we've kind of reserved, and we're just going in, and we have a certain menu that we have negotiated with them, and all of that is on the board, so make sure you get that information if you desire to be a part of that. All right, so I want to officially welcome, amen, Brother Solomon and Sister Naomi Johnson, amen, and their children to our fellowship, Spirit of Truth Tabernacle. So good to have them. And Brother Solomon couldn't be here if his mama didn't bring him. So we welcome officially Sister Mary, amen, also to our fellowship. Thank God for them. Praise the Lord. Amen. And everybody knows that Brother Solomon is a singer. Everybody knows Brother Solomon is a song leader. And it's no way Brother Solomon going to be able to come and just sit on his talent, right? So we got some things in motion, and he will be helping us out, amen, with singing. I'm sure that's an answer to prayer for Brother Wisdom. But Brother Wisdom, you can't go too far to the side. We got to have you still coming up and singing, brother, so... Amen. We just thank God for the extra shoulders, amen, to the wheel. So we just appreciate what God is doing, amen, here in our midst. And so glad to have them with us. My God, I mean, this is a multicultural, multinational, international church. Sister Naomi is from South Africa, right? So we got South Africa, we got Jamaica, we got the Haiti, we got Dominican Republic, we got America, right? Where's Cuba? Cuba's represented. Amen. Where you from? Where you from? I'm just messing with you, brother. but we just thank God for all that God is doing. We're so grateful. God is a good God. Amen. On tomorrow. Sister Erica and I will be leaving for a little bit. Thank you. There's a few people happy that we're leaving. But I did want to just stop and say thank you to the church, amen, at large,
Many of you all blessed us on last year, amen, with some contributions you gave to us during Ministry Appreciation Month, and you blessed us to be able to fulfill a desire of my wife for since I've known her. She's talked about this. And, you know, we just never thought that we'd be able to do it, but you all are making a dream come true. And each and every one of you, I just pray God would just, you know, reward you back a hundredfold for you giving to us. The church has sent us to a 7-day cruise to Alaska. Amen. And we are leaving. Praise the Lord. we're looking forward to it. I know we both need it. Amen. And on, so on tomorrow evening, amen, we will be leaving, going to Seattle, and then from there catching a cruise to Alaska for 7 days, and we'll be back in about 9 days or so. So while I'm away, Brother Smiley's going to be coming to conduct our services. We thank God for him. He'll be here on Wednesday nights, and he'll be here on Sunday, amen, conducting the service. There'll be no Friday night services while we're away, but Wednesday night, amen, and Sunday there will be service. And I believe also the meetings are in St. Augustine. That's going to be this weekend, amen. So I know that there were a few saints desiring to go, and I know that Brother Robles is willing to help drive, but he can't drive by himself. He can't do it all. So if we have anybody willing to help him with the drive, maybe we can get a few people together, and we'll take a group up on Saturday and come back on Saturday night. So just, you know, certainly I my blessings are upon, you know, the saints going and being a part. I pray that we'll have some representation there in St. Augustine. I'm sure the meetings are going to be a blessing. I heard from Brother Benny Perry, he's going to be coming to preach one of the services, and he said, Brother Jack, I'm coming down to Brother Brother Keith's, and I was just wondering what y'all doing on Sunday night. I said, Brother, I'm not going to be here, and we typically don't have a Sunday night service, but I said, let's try to catch up, you know, in the future, and I know he'll be back sometime in July, so we may have him come and speak for us. So I just thank God, you know, that people think about us. Amen. It feel good to be thought about, right? So we just thank God for that. But you know, if we can get a few to go, that'll be a real blessing, amen, to be a part of that. So so the next two Wednesdays, amen, and also Sunday, Brother Smiley will be here, amen, ministering for the church. Praise the Lord. All right. I have a prayer request here that I just want to acknowledge, and we want to pray. Just pray for my son, Josiah. He has a fever and a bad cough. This is from Brother Solomon. Amen. So we want to pray for Josiah today. Can we just have Josiah come, and we'll just anoint him with oil. Amen. And we'll pray for him today. Praise the Lord. This might be my little, that was when Sister Eric and I picked out a name for a boy, and Josiah was his name. So I might have to adopt little Josiah, as we don't plan on having, you know. We just, that's not a part of the plan. It'd just be something that God ordained if that happened, because our baby turned 18, and she... Amen. We thank God. Boy, I tell you, God is good. God is good. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I actually thought the rapture would have taken place by now. I'm surprised we're still here. You know, I just didn't think we'd be here, but God knows all things, and while we're here, we might as well do the best with what we, amen, what God has given us. So, amen. Let's just prepare our hearts for the Word of God today. Praise the Lord. I'll turn to a scripture here. Let me see. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I'll start at verse 40 and just read just a few passages, and then we'll pray and we'll have our seats. It says this, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And I wish that we could come to church today under expectation to see Christ. Amen. That's who we want to see. And verse 41 says, and behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet, besought him that he would come into his house. And another thing that we need to do is invite Christ to come in. And he's waiting on the invitation. He's a gentleman. He does not force himself on anybody, but he likes to be invited into your situation. Amen. Don't just assume that people know what you're going through. Right? But, amen, invite people into your situation. Invite God into your situation. Lord, I'm dealing with this, and I need you, right, to take care of it. Amen. He loves to be invited. Amen. He wants to give it to you, right? And says, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Let's just stop there and we'll just say a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And all the fathers, God, we ask that you would bless today, this special day, Lord, that's been set aside here in our nation to celebrate fatherhood. We just pray that you bless. And God, we just ask that you would take control of your word, that you would speak to our hearts, speak to our conditions and situations, and that you would get all the glory and all the honor out of this portion of the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We will use, amen, for our topic today, time to take action. Amen. This is really... I am kind of going in a traditional fashion today to kind of encourage our fathers, amen, here on Father's Day. I know that sometimes I don't go this direction, but I think sometimes daddy needs a little encouragement. Amen, amen. Amen. Especially good godly fathers, we really ought to appreciate them. Let's just look at something here that the prophet said, and here we have no continuing city. Amen. Here we have no continuing city. Amen. He says the first thing comes into my mind at this time is a little humble home built out in the country by the broom sage fields and some old apple trees standing around where my father and mother and their little family lived. A little humble place indeed. We were very, very poor. Daddy had a hard time. He was a very poor man. He worked for 75 cents a day in Logwood. My father had a bad habit, drinking. I'm sorry to have to say that, but that's true. My father died in my arms. I seen my daddy work so hard till when he would come, his back would be sunburned until his shirt would be sticking to his back. And mother would have to take the clip and take and clip the shirt loose from his back. I don't care what he done. He's my daddy. Amen. I wonder if people feel that way. I don't care what he done. He's still my daddy. Amen. I'm not ashamed of my father. I love my daddy. He's gone on today, but he's still daddy. Hallelujah. And to me, daddy just means something more personal. Amen. Than father. A lot of guys, amen, that have kids and biologically they are fathers. But it take a little more to be daddy. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, says and young people, remember, if you're fortunate enough today to have a daddy and a mother living, love them. Honor them. The hour will come when you'll think that they're the greatest people in the world if you don't now. And don't never, little fellas, don't never get this slandering word, old man and old woman. That means don't call your mama an old woman and don't call your daddy my old man. Don't do that. That's slandering, amen. That's disrespectful, right? And I'm not old man, that's my daddy, right? Amen. That's my mama, right? And don't let nobody else call them that either, right? Amen. Don't use negative words concerning your parents. Honor them, respect them, amen. All right, glory to God. If they weren't here, you wouldn't be here. Praise the Lord. Amen. So it says, he says, don't never give the slandering word old man and old woman. That's not the old man and old woman. That's daddy and mother. And some of these days when they go out of the room in the casket of flowers, you hear them lower it down to the ground and pastor say ashes to ashes and dust to dust. It won't be the old man then. There won't be the old woman. It'll be mother. You'll be wringing your hands and crying. That's right. Now, while she's a living, give her flowers now and give dad his flowers. That's right. Now, and the best flower you could give them is obey them. The best flower you could ever give your parents is to be obedient to them. All right. And that's the first promise in the Bible, the first commandment with promise, honor thy father and mother, which may lengthen the days upon the earth that the Lord giveth thee. The best flower you can ever offer your parents is to obey them. And I think that's very, very critical, very important, amen, especially you that have been raised in this message, amen. You don't have an excuse. God gave you the best that he could possibly give you when he gave you a parent that will raise you in the message of the hour. Amen. Come on now, I'm talking real good, amen. And your parent that raised you in this message, there should never be any thought of leaving the message. Huh? Amen. You got something greater, and you got something greater than Bill Gates' kids could have. You got something greater than Donald Trump's kids could ever have, is to be able to have the message of the hour, amen, that would get you ready for a rapture. Hallelujah, church. Amen. We ought to thank God for parents like that. Now, I mean, this message is a very strict message. Amen. And it's not the message that's strict. It's actually the Bible that is strict. Right. The Bible has certain things, for a certain way for us to live. And we can't change this. All we got is parents that got conviction on what the word of God said. Right. And trust me, you're going to appreciate a parent that'll tell you what God said rather than just giving you their opinion. And when they're giving you what God said, then you're going to have to take that same word and use that when your kids come along. Because every generation, if we keep letting down the bars, then it's. I mean, we don't know what we're going to have years to come. So we got to uphold what the word of God says. In every household, we got to uphold what the word of God says. Hallelujah. I'd rather stand on the word than stand on anything else. One man said, I'd rather be standing on the word than standing in heaven. What? I'd rather be standing on the word than standing in heaven. And they say, how could you say something like that? He said, because heavens and earth will pass away, but the word of God will remain forever. And I want to thank God for parents that stood on the word. By them standing on the word, it impacted my life. I didn't appreciate it all the time, but now I can say I appreciate it because they stood on the word. Oh, hallelujah. We're talking to the fathers, amen, today. I recently found myself getting involved in a little men's group where we meet the first Saturday of the month. And I got some of the other brothers involved, and we've been going through this little book called Resolutions. And man, as we start reading the book and the men going through it together, a little journey, and we're able to kind of talk about little things here, it just really brings such a camaraderie and challenges our thoughts and everything. And one of the things, you know, that kind of came out of the session, you know, you looked at this quote that I just read. Brother Branham saying that his father, he hate to say it, but his father was a drunk, right? I mean, and everybody got something in their family. Some, whether it's a father, whether it's a grandfather. In my family, it was a grandfather, right? I mean, I can just tell y'all things about my granddaddy that I'm not proud to say, right? I mean, but you know what? He was my granddaddy, right? I mean, you know, Brother Branham talked about his father being a drunk. My granddaddy was a gambler, right? You know, and man, the track just couldn't see enough of him. I mean, if he didn't have money, he'd come to you borrowing money, right? And I mean, it just all, I remember dreams that my granddaddy told me. I had a dream, and I saw the number 13, and somehow in the dream I was supposed to come to you, and I was supposed to play this number 13. And you know, being a young man, I don't know nothing about nothing. I'm just granddaddy coming to me asking for money. I feel like a man. I can help granddaddy. All I'm doing is enabling his bad habits. Right. You know, and as you get older, you begin to realize, I don't want to be like that.
Amen.
Right. And that's why I can thank God for parents that put me in an environment that I don't have to be like that. But if I was not in this environment, who knows what I would be today? Amen. Who knows what you would be if your parents hadn't put you in this environment? What my granddaddy probably didn't realize he was doing, and what Brother Branham's father probably didn't realize he was doing as a man, he was setting an example, and actually he was becoming what we call a chain maker. Right, he was making chains for his family, because the other young men in that family see granddaddy hanging on the corner, or daddy hanging on the corner, and next thing you know, they're going to want to hang on the corner. They see daddy drunk and granddaddy drunk. They see beer coming into the house and amen and all kind of other stuff happening. Before you know it, they desire to do the same things. He was becoming a chain maker. Things that would tear up families in the future. Things that would break a family down in the future. This is what they were doing. Brother Branham's father, as well as my own granddaddy, I can say that this morning. But I thank God that, you know, sometimes you can get around some men, you can see that, you know, they don't want to be chain makers, but they want to be chain breakers.
Yes,
and I decided a long time ago, I'm not going to be like granddaddy.
Amen.
Right? I'm not going to be that way. I had a daddy that came home after he got off work. I had a daddy that didn't bring beer into the house. Right, I had a daddy that did some things that, you know, that I can really appreciate. Right, I mean, I had a daddy that made sure the lights were still turned on. I had a daddy that made sure the bills was paid in the house and that we didn't go hungry. I had a daddy like that, and I appreciate that. Because by him doing that helped me to realize that when I step out and go on my own, I'm going to have to do the same thing daddy did. I can't let my family down. I got to keep the lights on. I got to get out there and go to work. If I had to work the way Brother Branham's father worked, where my wife would have to rip the shirt off my back at night, I'm still going to work.
Jesus.
See, I mean, I had a dad that set an example before me. And I want to say something. When we got a daddy, and if you have a daddy, maybe you didn't have that, don't be a chain maker. Don't continue the pattern. But be a chain breaker. Be a chain breaker. Say, I'm not going down that path. You know, I'm going to follow what God's word say, how fathers should raise their children. How fathers should be in the home. That's the way. I'm not going to be a chain maker. I'm going to be a chain breaker. Amen. You're going to find beer in my house. You're going to find me puffing on no cigarette. Huh? You're going to see me on Sunday leading my family out to the house of God. And I'm going to tell you like this. One time I was in school, and amen, and I had a class that went Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But, you know, just because I couldn't go to church, that didn't mean my family couldn't go.
Right. My Lord.
Come on. Just because I couldn't go, then me, my family can go. I want to make sure that, dear, are you getting the kids ready? Please take them to the house of God. Even though I'm not there, make sure my children are in the house of God. I want my children to be raised in a certain atmosphere. Hallelujah. Right? Amen. I wanted that, a spiritual atmosphere that I wanted for my kids. Yes, so I instill certain things in my household so that if I'm not here, if I'm not able to go, y'all still going to church.
Amen.
Oh, come on now, somebody. I don't want to be a chain maker. I want to be a chain breaker. And actually, in creating an atmosphere like that, I am making a chain. But it's a spiritual chain. I'm getting them connected to people that they should be connected to. Connected to the body of Christ. When we was looking at this, you know, some men decide to break the chains of alcohol and drug addiction in their families. They break the chains of womanizing. They break the chains of rebellion against God. They break the chain of faithlessness, right? They start legacies of faith and start legacies of faithfulness and start legacies of blessing their children. Amen. And I wrote some notes that said when children see daddy involved, then the children tend to get involved. Right? When children see their father is faithful to his marriage vows, then they also want to follow that example. Look, I mean, if a young lady notices that her father's not faithful to her mother, then before you know it, that young lady start expecting all men to be just like her daddy. Huh? Amen. But when she see daddy faithful to mama, she ain't going to go after some knucklehead. Right? I mean, if the guy is not up to any good, she'll push him to the side. Some kind of way she'll recognize, no, this is not what I'm supposed to be. This is not what I'm supposed to be involved with. I need a man like my daddy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. That young lady would start looking for a man. Like, I want to see a man that'll serve God like my daddy served God. I want to see a man that'll take us to church like my daddy took us to church. Huh? That's what that young lady began to see. And not only that, the young man in the house, he said, I got to do the same thing my daddy did. There's never a young man that feels good about falling short of where his daddy was. Oh, my God. Every young man want to go further than where his daddy went. Come on now, somebody. And I want to tell you, I want to just kind of empower the men that have become chain, amen, breakers. By being faithful to God, I want to empower you. When you know that you ain't put beer in the house, when you know you ain't brought cigarettes to the house, when you know you haven't been womanizing, but you've been faithful, when you see these things operating in your children's life, then you have a right to grab them by the face mask, get their attention, and tell them you didn't see that in me. I don't know where you got it from. But you didn't see that in me. And since you didn't see it in me, I'm expecting better of you. Woo. You can break the chains in future generations by the way that you live. Thank you, Jesus. It's time to take action. It's time to take action. When we know that we've raised our children the way that God has told us to raise them, then we can look the devil in the face and say, no, you can't have my child. I trained them up the way that they're supposed to go. Hallelujah. Brother Branham talked about the father that was a little tipsy. Went to the Christmas parties and going from house to house. And as he's going from house to house, oh, have a little drink, John. He take a little drink. It's just a little bit. Go to the next house, have a little drink. Just a little drink. Just a little bit, just a little here, a little there, a little everywhere. And before you know it, the last house he get to, he done drunk a little bit, and he got his little boy. He was carrying him at first, but now because he's so drunk, he can't carry his son. Now he got the boy following him behind. The son just keep up, and it's snowing, and I mean a real hard snow, like, son, just keep up with me. So as he's walking, amen, he noticed behind him that his son just going all over the place. Here, there. He says, son, what's the matter with you? Why are you all over the place like that, son? He said, Daddy, I'm just following it in your footsteps.
Yes. Yes.
I'm just following in your footsteps. And it caused the man to kind of think about, well, what kind of footsteps am I setting? What am I really doing for my son? What am I doing for my children? Not just your children, but your children's children going to follow your decisions. To those of you that don't even have kids, the decisions that you're making right now are the decisions that's going to impact generations. Hallelujah. Which way are we setting the steps? Don't be a chain maker, but be a chain breaker. You can make change in faithlessness and not serving God. I've seen it happen where a father decides that he's not serving God, and I've seen it affect his children. It impacts his children. But I've also seen a father that say he is going to serve God, and that's also impacted his children. Listen, when daddy goes to work faithfully and brings the money home, it sets a pattern for his children. When fathers take action and become the men that God called them to be, then they earn the right to pull the face mask of their children when they see them going astray. He looks his son in the face and asks, where did you get that bad habit from? Because you most certainly didn't see that in me. Amen. What makes change is that we fail to live godly lives before our families. When we do that, we create patterns for future hurt and destruction. These are hard decisions, but they are important for the success of future generations. You're going to have to push your feelings aside for future generations. You're going to have to swallow some things for future generations. Can I just talk just a little bit? When I go to work and I don't like the way things are happening, and I just don't feel good about what my boss just did, I got to swallow that. I can go home and talk to my wife. I can go home and let her know, you know, dear, this just happened today, and I just feel so bad about what happened. I mean, and she'll sit there, she'll empathize and sympathize with me. She'll do all of that. But at the end of that conversation, her expectation is that I'm going to find strength from my inner man and get right back out there and go to work. Huh? Not, you know, I just feel so bad, I quit. I heard a young man say that. He didn't tell his wife. He was going through something. He said he knew God was moving him off the job. He said he knew God was moving off the job. He just knew God was doing it. And he went and he didn't tell his wife what was going on. So about 3 or 4 days went by and his wife noticed him at the house. Like, what happened? Oh, I quit that job. Oh, man. You did what? How are we going to feed the kids and we going to do this? You did. Well, I know God will make a way, but we still got bills right now. He said he learned a lesson that day that he'll never forget. And what he learned is that, look, you don't quit no job till you got another job. Amen. We set examples for our children. It's time to take action. I was just kind of thinking this over this subject here. And we, on Mother's Day, I shared with you all about, amen, a few mothers that took action. And I shared with you all about Mother Possum. Right, how she brought her babies to the prophet's house and, amen, and waited for her prayer card to be called. And when she got prayed for, she walked out of the gate and just turned back and said, thank you, and just went on back out into the woods, healed of her condition. Right? The mother deer stood up in the face of the hunter. And, amen, no matter how those guns was pointed at her, she would take the bullet on behalf of her children. Yeah. Amen. Aunt Jemima that would pray, say, I'm not worried about him getting healed. I just want to know that my baby is saved. And how she stood out there in front of that gate, amen, waiting for the prophet to come by, to pray for her son. That was a mother that would do that. Also, I talked to you all about the Shunammite woman that when her son was brought in to her, you know, and the father say, look, I don't know what to do with this boy. He done dropped dead in the fields. Go give him to his mama. And mama said, get me an animal together and take me to the prophet. And as we go on, it's going to get uncomfortable. I realize the ride going to get uncomfortable. But don't slack the ride for me. Yeah. Right? And we got to thank God for mothers that are dedicated amen, that no matter how hard life may get, they're going to be right there through the thick and thin with you. Thank God for mothers that don't want the ride to be slack for them. But we got some good mothers and we also got some good fathers. And today I just want to talk about a few good fathers that did some things that were very remarkable on behalf of their family. Sometimes daddy got to take action. You can't always leave it in mama's hands. Come on, I'm saying a lot. You can't expect mama to pay all the bills. You can't expect mama to talk to the bill collectors. Daddy, you got to stand up sometimes and you got to get that thing worked out. Hallelujah. Right? But, you know, I'm reminded of, amen, the story of a man by the name of Arthur Morton. And you all might not have heard his name unless you read his story, but his son took sick one time. And, amen, this boy was about a very young man, 5, 6 years old, and took sick. And, amen, just he was living up in Canada. And, man, they got really, really down, really down. And, you know, they went to the hospital. And if you ever read the story, you can see all the things that the daddy pressed through a snowstorm and all these other things, trying to get his son to the hospital just to be taken care of. When they got to the hospital, the doctor said, there's no hope for him. We can't help him out. There's nothing we can do. And, you know, but this daddy would not give up on behalf of his son. And he heard about how God had brought healing to some of his neighbors by them being in some of Brother Branham's meetings. So he decided, I got to take my son to the meeting. Right. And what this daddy did was, amen, he took a 2,700 mile trip with his boy on a bus. Right. To bring that boy into the presence of the prophet. Everybody else, Mayo's clinic had given up on him. Amen. Some of the other famous clinics at that time, they had given up on this boy. But they brought him into the presence of the prophet, got him to the prayer line. I mean, days of just trying to get there. Days on this bus trying to get there just to get into the presence of God. And just like we read in the scripture, amen, Jairus was trying to get Jesus' attention. This is what we have to do sometimes. Daddy, you can't fix it all the time. But daddy, you got to know who can fix it. Daddy, you got to be able to bring your kids into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is able to fix whatever it is that they might be going through. Hallelujah. Amen. This father, Arthur Morton, say, I can get my boy. He said, I haven't lost all hope yet. Amen. I don't care if this doctor say he can't do it. Another doctor say he can't do it. I still got hope because I can get him into the presence of God. Yes, sir. That daddy brought his son there to the prophet. And when he got there, they say, he don't have a prayer card. You got to wait for everybody else. Amen. And finally, some people say, you know, no, just let him just go on. And Brother Branham saw him over there and say, hey, what's the matter? Just bring him on up. And as they brought him up before the platform and they begin to, Brother Branham said, you know, he got this condition, he got that condition, he got that. He just began to call out Donnie Morton's problems. And he told him, say, now, you know, you're not going to want to believe. The father said, yeah, yes, he got all that. He said, but will my boy be healed? That's all I want to know. He was crying and said, will my boy be healed? He says, look, you're not going to want to believe it. He says, but, you know, I know you done took him to every doctor. He said, but you're going to meet a lady within 3 days. And when you meet that lady in 3 days, she's going to tell you about a country doctor and say only, amen, through the help of God and that country doctor, that's the only way your boy going to be made well. Right. And that boy, that I mean, 3 days later, the man happened to be walking on the streets. The lady come up and asked him what's going on with your boy. And when he looked at the lady, he's like, oh, everybody asked me the same question. Then all of a sudden, he started looking again. He said, this is exactly what he said. Say, where that country doctor at? But see, if the father would not have got involved, if the father would not have took action, his boy would not have been able to kind of, amen, experience a little better health. Eventually, the boy did die, but he didn't die in the condition, amen, that he was in when he saw the prophet. That boy came to the prophet with his arms all wrapped around himself. He was, amen, it was a really bad condition. His limbs was bad. Everything was bad. But God touched that boy through what the prophet told him. Amen. He'll find the doctor that's able to do the operation. Yes, God touched that boy because a daddy got involved. A daddy took action. Amen. Hallelujah. Daddy, don't leave it to mama all the time. Mama wasn't able to take this trip. Mama was pregnant with another child. And sometimes we know we just put too much on mama. We just put a lot on mama. But daddy, we got to step in. We got to get involved. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That daddy took action. I want you to, another situation here. Let's just read this out of Mark chapter 9. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Some fathers that took action. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Mark chapter 9. Thank you, Lord. Verse 17. Look at this. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. It says this. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son. See, mama not bringing the son, but daddy's taking action. Daddy's getting involved. Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. It says, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away, and I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Now, I like this, you know, especially for Father's Day. The daddy got a son that's really vexed, right? I mean, and notice it's a spirit that's doing this to his son. Amen. It's a spirit that's causing this, and the daddy is really vexed, and you can probably imagine how the mother's feeling, but the daddy is the one that's taking action. The daddy is the one that says, I got to bring him to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I said this the other night. If we were living in a day where Jesus was on earth, and you know, already knowing what we know about Christ, if Jesus was to walk into our church on one Sunday or one Wednesday or one Tuesday or one Monday or one Thursday, whatever night, and whatever night Jesus came, we would all come to church with a certain amount of expectation. Right? Amen. Because we would expect that if we're in the presence of the Lord Jesus, it is possible that anything can happen here tonight. Amen. No matter what night of the week it is, no matter what time of day it is, we would come with expectation. If we couldn't get to Jesus, but God's prophet was still alive and knowing what we know about his ministry. If he came on a Monday or Tuesday or Thursday or Wednesday or Friday or Saturday or Sunday, didn't matter when he showed up, we would come to church with an expectation, believing that God can do something about our condition. Some of us got some things, some really hard cases that we're dealing with, but we would come to church believing that no matter what this is, God can fix it. If we can have that expectation, if the literal Jesus Christ was here, or if God's prophet was here, why not keep that same expectation, knowing that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Amen. Church, anything can happen. These scriptures are not just here just to be here. But we come to church with some hard situations. Why not expect God to do something? We just saw it this morning. Mama didn't put in the prayer request. Daddy say, pray for my son. That's daddy bringing his son, amen, into the presence of the Lord, expecting something to happen to his son. I don't like seeing my son like this. Pray for my boy. It's time to take action. Dear, take the boy on up there. Dear, do this. Dear, oh, when you going? No, when you gonna do something? It's time for daddy to take action. Let me just keep reading. Look at it. Verse 19 says, oh God, y'all just bear with me. Y'all just give me a few minutes. Just a few months ago, we were at home. And I remember this brother, you know, Brother Nathan, that told me his son had a nosebleed. And he told me the scripture, say, Brother Branham, say, read Ezekiel 16 and 6. You know, anytime somebody have a nosebleed, I say, what? Say, never heard that before, brother. Where is that? He said, yeah, this is what the prophet said. We read it over our son three times, and God healed him. So, all right, brother, praise God. I highlighted that in my Bible. I kept that, and I came and shared it with y'all as soon as I heard it, right? Because you might run into situations like that, and you want to be prepared. So, you know, that one Wednesday night, we left church, and my daughter, amen, she went home, and she'd already been sent home from work from having a nosebleed. And, just couldn't control it. So, we thinking we got to get her to the hospital, what? And that night, you know, she come home after church, and, And man, she started the nosebleed, and mama was working on it, and grandmama was working on it, and her sisters and everything doing it. You know, and when it comes to kind of working on things, it's a little difficult for me because, you know, all I can kind of do is rub you on the back, or, you know. And, I mean, I don't know what to do. I mean, you know, but mothers seem to have something in them that just, they do this and they do that, they try this. They got all kind of things, right? But I said, well, I know what to do. I went and got my Bible, and I stood there over while she was bleeding. I read that scripture 3 times, and I just began to try. We just read it. I found your blood, found you in your blood, and say, live. I say unto thee, yea, I say unto thee, live. You know, and I said, I read it 3 times, and she started bleeding again. I started reading again. She started bleeding again. I started reading again. And we read it 9 times over her, and after that 9th time, no more bleeding. Now listen, it was time for Daddy to take action. Daddy, you might not be able to do all the things mama can do, but you got some things that you can do. You can pray. And ain't nothing like hearing Daddy pray. Ain't nothing like hearing Daddy pray. Right? I mean, when boys hear Daddy pray, they look forward to the day that Daddy gonna ask them to pray over the food. And that boy done put it in his ear, he gonna say the same prayer that his daddy prayed. I'm doing it. Y'all hear me say, let this food be nourishment to our bodies as your word has been nourishment to our spirits. I got that from my daddy. Ooh. And if I had sons, y'all would hear them praying the same thing. That's all. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Where I'm at. Let me just get back to the scripture. It's time for Daddy to take action. All right, listen. Verse 19, it says, he answereth him. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Now, just so that you know, Brother Branham said when Jesus prayed for this boy, he said that was the hardest fit he ever had. He was an epileptic. He said that was the hardest fit that he ever had when he came into the presence of Jesus. Now, you know what? Sometimes the hardest times you're going to have from your kids is when you're trying to get them to come into the presence of Jesus. And when you start seeing that you're having a hard time, you ought to know that that devil realizes his time is limited. So don't act up when you see the devil act up. Just begin to bind that devil in the name of Jesus. I don't care how you act up. We still going. Now, you can sit there like you ain't going to get nothing. Trust me, you can never come in God's presence and not get something. Amen. You can sit there with your arms folded, but you can't block what's coming in your ears. And what get through your ears sometimes penetrates to your heart. Ooh, Jesus. The hardest fit ever is when he came into the presence of Jesus. All right, let's go on. And he asked, verse 20 says, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. I've been dealing with this for a long time, Jesus. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, I wonder why he said us. Because this, when a child going through this, it's not just impacting a child. It's impacting daddy and it's impacting mama. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out. And said with tears, this dad is involved. This dad has already taken action. He cried out with tears and said, Lord, I believe. And see, I every time I read the story, I feel like I'm a part of this man's story. Because when he said these words, these are the greatest words that any human being, I think, could probably speak back to Christ. Lord, I believe. I really believe this, God. But help my unbelief.
My Lord.
Help my unbelief. I mean, I don't know what's causing me not to get what I'm supposed to be getting from it. Help my unbelief.
Yes, Lord.
Look at it. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him. And I love this. Enter no more into him. The Egyptians you've seen today, ye shall see no more forever. Enter no more into him. Once you get your child free, command that devil never to return again.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Ooh, God. Father, it's time to take action.
Yes, sir.
I'm reminded of a couple other stories, and I'm going to let you go in a little bit. There's some daddies that took action. You all might have heard the story of the Mexican father. Brother Branham was in town, and he had a son named Ricky. And Ricky was man, he was really, really in bad shape. He was really in bad shape. And you all get me lined up for Watchmen, What of the Night. I want to pull out something there. Give me paragraph E68 on that, Watchmen, What of the Night. Ricky was in really bad shape. This man happened to call the house where Brother Branham was staying, and he was asking for his brother. I think his name was Brother Argenbright. He's like, is Brother Argenbright brother available? He's like, no, he's not. He said, well, I'm looking for Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, I'm he. How can I help you? He says, well, I got this, you know, son. I was just, you know, he's really in a bad situation. I need somebody to pray for him. I was either waiting on you to come to town, or Brother Oral Roberts, or anybody that had the prayer of faith and they prayed for the sick. I just wanted him to come see my son and pray over him. So God spoke to Brother Branham's heart and said, go to the hospital. Go see this man. And when he got there, amen, Brother Branham saw a situation that was really, really bad. You know, he was just kind of, when he talked about the boy and the cancer that was in his mouth, it was just really bad, right? And I want you to just kind of catch me with this. Paragraph E68, I want you to just kind of get this. He says his little arms were in splints like this so that he couldn't reach to pull that whistle out. It would choke, the cancer draining. The nurse had to stand there with something to pull the drainage of the cancer out of the whistle, or it would choke to death. And the father walked around to the bedside and he said, Ricky, daddy's little boy. He said, daddy brought Brother Branham to pray for you. It says, when he said, daddy's little boy, he said, my spirit just left me. I just couldn't stand it any longer. I just had to hold to the side of the bed. Daddy's little boy. Now, if this would make the prophet be moved, I mean, remember how the woman in Memphis, Tennessee, it caused the prophet just to have tears in his eyes because, you know, no matter what that boy had done, that was still her little boy.
Right?
And when she began to pray, the prophet said, I never heard nobody pray like that. I knew she had prayed before.
Right.
And Brother Branham could feel the love that was coming from his father. No matter how sick his son was, he was still daddy's little boy. This daddy was taking action. You can pull it down. This story goes on where Brother Branham pulled to his side and said, he heard daddy's little boy. He walked off to the side and said, he said, God, do you get any glory out of seeing a person laying in this condition, this little four-month-old baby with this condition? What glory can you get out of it? God, I just can't see you getting no glory. So Brother Branham, you know, went on back in the room and he just sat there and he said, he started talking to the Lord, you know, just quietly. And he said, Lord, I'm waiting to see what you're going to do about this. I'm waiting. So then he heard a voice speak back to him say, I'm waiting to see what you're going to do about this. Because if you say to the mountain, be thou removed, if you would get in action, then some things would begin to happen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
So Brother Branham said, well, okay, Lord, that's what you're waiting on. Say, I'm going to just start praying. And he went and he prayed a prayer, and I use this prayer often. I got it from the prophet. He says, in between this condition and this patient, I place the blood of the Lord Jesus in Jesus' name. Amen.
My Lord.
Walked out the hospital room. He said, the daddy followed him. The daddy followed him and said, Brother Branham, thank you for praying for my son. He says, I got some tithe money I want to give you. He said, no, no, brother, no, no, you can't do that. He said, you got to pay this doctor. He said, no, no. He said, no, I've been saving this up, and I want to give you this tithe money, Brother Branham. He said, I want to give it to another minister. He said, no, brother, I can't take it. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll receive it, and I'm going to give it right back to you. So that's what they did. And the brother said he didn't feel right about that. He said, no, Brother Brown. He said, brother, I just can't take it from you. You got this doctor bill to pay. And say, I just can't do it. Say, after Brother Brown left the room, God just began to touch that little boy. That swelling started going down. And before you know it, within about a few hours, that boy was perfectly well. So the next morning, the doctor had released him. And the doctor said, well, he can go home. You know. So the man got in his car, went running down to the house where Brother Brown was. And Brother Brown was on his way out the house. When he got there, you know, he said, Brother Branham, blowing his horn, Brother Branham, say, my son is healed. God brought him out of the hospital. He said, well, praise God, brother, glory to God. He said, brother, here go that tithe money I told you that God told me to give you. I said, what you mean? Say, I told you to give that to the doctor. He said, I did. I tried to give it to the doctor, but the doctor said I had nothing to do with that boy's healing. I had nothing to do with it. So keep your money. He said, so since he gave it back to me, I'm coming to give it to you. A daddy that took action. A daddy that got involved. A daddy that could bring his child into the presence of the Lord. Mama didn't call, but daddy picked up the phone to call. Daddy went looking for, where's the prophet at? Daddy did this. Daddy did it, not mama. Daddy's got to take action.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let's go back and look at this as we read about Jairus in Luke 8. Jairus was a man that had to take action. And if you know Jairus' story, the Bible tells us that Jairus was a leader in the synagogue. He was one of the rulers in the synagogue, which most of the leaders in that day, they disliked Jesus. They didn't want to be around Jesus. They didn't want their people around Jesus. They were really trying to get the people to turn on Jesus. But here, Jairus had run into a situation where, you know, yes, I am a leader. I'm a ruler in the synagogue, and I realize, you know, why we feel the way we feel about Jesus. I mean, maybe he don't teach the doctrine that we teach, and he don't do things the conventional way that we do things. So I understand why we feel the way we feel, but I have a condition. And the condition is my daughter, not just my daughter, my only daughter is now sick unto death. And with her being sick unto death, I've come to church before, y'all not praying for the sick. But Jesus, I found out, is praying for the sick. And not only praying for the sick, when he prays, things happen.
Yes. Amen.
Right? So I understand everything that you all are saying. And Jairus has already had some conversations with his wife. Right? He's already kind of talked this over with his wife. And his wife say, look, if it get too bad, I don't care who's at our house. If it get too bad, I need you to go get Jesus. So they were already in agreement that we're going to go get Jesus. Now, I don't care what Rabbi so-and-so said. You go get Jesus because this is my only daughter. And I can see Jairus and his wife come in complete agreement. We don't care what they say. We might get kicked out of the church, but I'm going to Jesus. And honey, I'm not expecting you to go. But I'll get up and I'll go. And one day, as everybody was over at the house, man, the daughter just began to get worse and worse. And as she was getting worse, the mama getting, you know, get that little look in her eye, maybe a little panicky. Oh, my God, what are we going to do here now? And I can see her just look at Jairus. Just nod her head. You know what that means. Go get Jesus. Jairus said, go get his coat. And he run on out and, amen. Then he come on up and he finally get into the presence of Jesus. And as we looked at it, amen. When he got to Jesus, he fell down at his feet, began to worship him. And just so happy to be in his presence. I got a daughter at home that's sick unto death. I need you to come. Now, as Jesus is leaving, says, I'm on my way to your house, Jairus. I'm coming. As Jesus is leaving, the crowds are around Jesus and he's walking and he's going on to Jairus' house. But as he's walking, there's a lady that has a condition for 12 years. Her blood issue won't stop. And she done been kicked out of church too. She can't go to church with this type of condition. She can't sit on the furniture with this type of condition. She can't be around people with this type of condition. She say, but this might be my only chance if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Now, I know he can't come touch me, but if I can touch him, my condition is going to be over with. Oh, Jesus. And I want to say that today. If you can just get in touch with Jesus today, whatever you are going through will be over with. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, the day this thing going to be over with. She pressed away, and, you know, I just love it. She came from behind, and she grabbed a hold of his garment, just got a hold of it. Church, I mean, you got to see. Just turned and just walked away. Boy, I know this thing over. And just and while she's walking away, Jesus, who touched me? Mm-hmm. Peter said, now, wait a minute. Everybody done touch you. How can you ask the question, who touched me? Everybody's touching you. He said, yeah, I know. But some of them asking for autographs. But she asking for healing.
Yeah. Amen.
He looked around till he saw her in the audience. And she just sitting there, maybe a little bashful. And he said, okay, Lord, it's me. I'm the one that did it. I touch you. I had a need. And she began to tell her niece, sister, your faith has made you whole. Now, you know, in all of this, there's a father sitting there.
Yes.
So now I appreciate her touch.
Right, right.
And actually, my faith just got increased. If you can do that for her, then what can you do for my daughter?
All right.
So Jesus, if you don't mind, and if y'all don't mind, Jesus going home with me. As he's on the way, let's pick this up in the scripture. Oh God. Verse 49 in Luke 8. This is a father that took action. Love to see daddies involved. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Leave him alone. Your daughter is done. Situation is over. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, and you know, it's just good. It's good, church, that Jesus got a chance to just kind of be there at this time to speak into this man's life, to anoint his faith. I know your daughter's dead. I know she, I mean, this seemed impossible. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him and said, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. I was wondering why he kicked everybody else out. Because they were coming with the atmosphere of unbelief.
Amen.
He had to kick them all out. I can almost assure you that servant that came on their own. The wife didn't send him. Now, don't discourage Jesus from coming to my house. Make sure Jesus get here.
That's right.
Me and my husband in agreement with this.
Yes, sir.
Right? Amen. You got some people that's always going to try to pull you down.
That's right. Yes.
Look at it. It says, when Jesus came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother and the maiden, and all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again. And she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. This father took action. No matter what his position was in the church, he didn't care. If he was going to lose it, didn't care. He took action because of his daughter. That's, we're going to have to take action. Sometimes it may cause us to have to turn down a position on the job in order to be there for our families. We got to take action. I just want to give you a few statistics, and I'm going to bring it home. I was looking at something about fatherlessness here in our nation. It said 63% of the youth suicides come from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. They also said 85% of all youth in prison come from fatherless homes. And this number here that really struck me, 80% of rapists with anger problems come from fatherless homes. There's a story my wife shared with me some years ago, and I just love to tell it, especially on Father's Day. But there's a story about a man, some scientists were doing a study in the jungles of Africa, and they had some elephants in a particular area, and they wanted to transport these elephants, and they built harnesses for helicopters to lift these elephants out of the area and take them and transport them over. The harnesses that they built, they tried to put these on the father type elephants, the real big ones, the dominant males. They tried to put them on there, and the fathers were just, these elephants too big, too heavy. So they weren't able to take them, but they took the little growing elephants, the males, and they took the mothers away, and they took them over to this other part of the jungle there that they wanted them to be in. And when they got them over there, they began to notice that, you know, a lot of the hippos, they were starting to die. And they're like, well, why are these hippos dying? What's going on here? You know? So they're like, I say, man, something is wrong. What's going on? The hippos are dying. And so every time they come, a hippo be, somebody be done like, it's like they done took a spear and just went right through the hippo. Well, they start putting cameras in the jungle, and they noticed that it was the little male baby elephants that were going and doing that to the hippos. And that wasn't happening where they were, but, you know, now where they are, now that's starting to happen. But they realize is that the reason that this is happening is that we left the fathers in the other jungle. So they say, you know what, we got to build some type of harness to get those fathers over here to see what happened. Well, they built something a little stronger, and they finally started putting some of the father elephants over into, amen, this new area. And when they just brought the father into the area, all the killing stopped. All the killing stopped. Because those fathers had an influence on the baby elephants to show them how they're supposed to conduct themselves in the jungle. The fathers had to come back into the picture. See, the fathers have to take action. Right? We need fathers. We have to appreciate fathers. They have something that they offer to the family.
Amen.
Without fathers, we wouldn't be here.
Amen.
It's time to take action.
Amen.
God richly bless you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, you are above all fathers. And we're so happy to know that we are your children. You call us sons and you call us daughters. God, is in the natural, there are genes that pass down from a father and from a mother. There's natural things that come. There's spiritual things that come. But Lord, spiritually, there's a gene that comes from our God, our Father, our God, Lord, that we could never deny. And we're so glad to know that we're part of that. God, we pray, amen, as we just want to encourage the dads here. We thank you for every father that has done his duty to raise his children in the ways of the Lord, to teach them the things of God. Lord, that would inspire them to want to follow, amen, the revelation of the message. God, we thank you for fathers. And Lord, we know that there's some here that may they don't have fathers like that, but God, you have still put them in community and in communication with men that could still challenge them and speak into their lives, and Lord, cause them to want to be better. Everybody's situation is a little different. I think about Esther and Lord, she lost a father, she lost a mother, but you gave her a faithful uncle, Lord, that would raise her and just teach her. And Lord, through that, through the respect that she had for her uncle, it put her in a place where she could become queen. And even though she was in a high level of authority within the kingdom, she still respected the man that you had given to raise her. God, we thank you for that. We thank you for the relationships that we see in the scripture that show no matter what our condition is, God, you're able to turn things around and make it so much better for us. So God, I just ask, Lord, that you would just bless every father. Bless every man in here that has the potential of being a father. Help him to take, Lord, what he's hearing and apply that. Lord, that families would be stronger. Because, Lord, that's what the church is really built on. It's built on the foundation of the families. If families are weak and tore apart, God, then the church is going to be the same way. But if families are strong and standing together, then the church is going to be the same way. So, God, we're just asking, Father, that you would just help us, Lord, to apply these principles that we hear. Let us be fathers that are involved all the way around with our children. It may cause for sacrifice sometimes, but, Lord, they're our children. You gave them to us, and we have a responsibility that we can't give to anybody else. We can't shirk it. We have to stand up and accept it. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would be with us. And we pray, Lord, that we would be the men that you have called us to be. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Amen. Well, again, we want to wish a happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Amen. They did a little study in churches, and they talked about how Mother's Day is always this nice, loving message to the mothers to try to encourage them. But to the fathers, it's always, come on, you can be a better dad. You can do this. You can do that, you know. No doubt, you know, that's just the way it is, you know, for us, and we can handle it. But I wanted today just to try to encourage fathers. There's so many scriptural examples of fathers that got involved, and God's just calling us to action with our families. Call us to action in the house of God. Wherever we can get involved, we need to be involved, because people need to see the men involved. Let's sing this song. Amen, with all of our hearts. I will be what you call me to be. God, I say yes. Yes, I agree. My desire, Lord, is, Lord, just to do everything that you've called me to do, God. That's my desire, Father. Let's just sing with all of our hearts today as we just worship our Heavenly Father in song. To be what you call me to be, that's what I will be. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. I will be what you call me to be. I will be what you've called me to be. I'll say yes. I'll say yes. Lord, I agree. Lord, I agree. My desire, passionately, is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I will be. Say, that's what I will be. Hallelujah. I will be what you call me. I will be what you call me to be. Oh, I'll say yes. Lord, I agree. Oh, Lord, I agree. My desire passionately is to be what
You've called me to be. That's what I will be. Say, that's what I will be. Oh, yes, I will be what you've called me to be. Hey, I'll say yes, yes. Lord, I agree. My desire, passionately, is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I will be. That's what I will be. Amen. Let's sing it one more time with all of our hearts. I will be what you call me to be. Say, I will be what you've called me to be. Oh, I'll say yes. Oh, Lord, I agree. Lord, and my desire, passionately, is to be what you've called me to be, Lord. That's what I will be. Oh, I'll say yes, yes, Lord, I agree. Yes, I do, God. Hallelujah. I'll say yes. Oh, I'll say yes. 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 I agree. I agree. Oh, I'll say yes. I'll say yes. 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 I agree. Hallelujah. Oh, I agree with your word, oh God. I'll say yes. Yes, yes, yes. I agree. I say amen to your word, Jesus. I say amen to your word, so be it in my life. I'll say yes. Yes. Yes, I agree. Hallelujah. We'll say it one time. Yes to you, Lord Jesus. I'll say yes. Yes. Yes, I agree. I agree. I will be. Oh, I will be what you call me to be. I'll say yes. I'll say yes. Lord, I agree. Oh, Lord, I agree. My desire, passionately, oh, is to be what you call me to be. That's what I will be. That's what I will be. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I forgot to mention earlier, on tomorrow night, next two Monday nights, 7:30, I believe, Brother West Coast Church, they'll be having rehearsal for the South Florida choir. Those that want to be involved in that South Florida choir for his meetings that will happen in July. The rehearsals will be there at 7:30, amen, on Monday night. So this Monday as well as next Monday, they'll be having rehearsal there at Brother West Coast Church, amen. So if you can be a part of that, we certainly invite you to be a part of that, amen. Brother Solomon, I'm going to have you close us out with a word of prayer today, amen. And you'll dismiss the service for us, brother. God bless you, saints. Amen.
God bless you, saints. Will you bow your heads? Lord God Almighty, most gracious and kind Heavenly Father, how we do appreciate, Lord, your word, Lord, and how you come, Lord, and manifest yourself to us. Not only that, how you manifest yourself through us, Lord. It's your life that lives within us all, Lord. Lord, you are the Father of fathers, Lord. God, you help us as the priest of our homes to stand, Lord, in protection over our families, Lord God, to call upon your name, Lord, to take action in our homes, Lord. We thank you for this word of encouragement, Father God, that we may continue to press the battles, Lord. You've given us precious wives to be with us, to stand at our side, Lord. And you've given us children, Lord God, to strengthen this army, Lord, that you have upon the face of the earth. And help us to raise them, Lord God, to serve you all the days of their lives, Father. We thank you, Lord God, for this heavenly atmosphere, Lord, that we can come and bathe in your presence, Lord, that you can come and grant a refilling of the Holy Ghost to each and every person that has come to this place, where souls can be won to Christ, Lord. Father, we're so grateful for this little tabernacle here, Lord. We ask, Lord God, that you continue to strengthen our bonds, Lord. May your perfect love, Lord, come and rest upon each and every individual, Lord. We ask, Lord God, your blessings upon our pastor, Lord. We ask your blessings, Lord God, upon his family, upon the musicians, this congregation. May we always, Lord, get in one mind, one heart, and one accord, Lord God, that we may see you manifested amongst us, Lord. Lord, as we depart this place, we do not depart from your presence. Your presence is always with us, for you are in us, Lord God. May we go pressing the battle, Lord, calling upon the name of Jesus and manifesting it to the world, for we are the light of the world. Help us, Lord God, in this last hour to win souls to you, Lord. We ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Grant traveling mercies to us all. Continue to strengthen Brother Burrs. We love you, Father. Commit all these things to you now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.